You touched on this briefly in your comments so far, but other groups have converted or are seeking to convert SMAs, separately managed accounts, and you mentioned private funds. Can you just shift a little bit and discuss some of the challenges, if you will, of converting these types of products to an ETF versus, say, converting a mutual fund to an ETF?
Yeah, that's a really interesting set of mergers or transactions, I should say, that are going to come out. So, you know, normally what Guinness Atkinson did is they converted an existing two series of their existing mutual fund funds to exchange traded funds. And that's generally speaking, there are a lot of big investors who are doing that, converting a series portfolio that's currently operated as a mutual fund to an exchange traded fund. So when you look at other types of portfolios, that investment portfolios that people manage, you can certainly convert a private fund. And there are people who are working on converting SMAs, separately managed accounts. So I think that it's kind of the same process, but you have more steps in the process. I mean, first of all, normally a private fund is either a limited partnership or a limited liability company. So you're going to have to make sure that you have the proper type of governance structure for that to be converted. And that's probably going to be effectuated by a merger into a shell that is a series of a trust company.
So what's the first thing that an advisor to a private fund or an SMA is going to want to do to convert?
So the first thing that you're going to want to do is decide what kind of a structure you're going to be converting into. And in most cases, that's going to be a series trust, and you're going to have each fund is going to go into a separate series. No matter what you start with, what you're going to end up with is a separate series that'll be itself the exchange traded fund. So you need to make sure that you have the tax lawyers with you at the table on this, because these conversions, in order for shareholders to be to find them appealing, they really need to be tax-free. And that means you need to have your tax lawyer working through the portfolio with you, making sure that the conversion is going to be carried out in a way that's not going to have an adverse tax consequence. Okay. So the other thing that you need to do is you need to think through how the exchange traded component of the product is going to be handled, right? Are you going to be an exchange traded fund or an exchange traded product?
And so what's the difference between an exchange-traded fund and an exchange-traded product?
So if you go into an exchange-traded fund structure, you're essentially going to be filing a registration statement on Form N1A, because that's typically what you want, is the open-ended, so that you have an unlimited number of shares to be issued and listed and traded. And you also, that means that you're going to have to go through all of the components of what a registered investment company requires. If you're going to go in the other direction and be an exchange traded product, you're probably going to be an emerging growth company, and you're probably going to be filing an S1. So you'll go through that form to make sure that you have all of your bells and whistles tied up there. So, I mean, we think about things like emerging growth companies. Most people in the fund business think of ETFs as being funds. Emerging ETPs, exchange traded products, they don't look exactly like funds, but they feel in the trading component like funds. So I think that if you have the right kind of portfolio, you know, you definitely could look into the emerging growth area. For example, some of the funds that have been related to Bitcoin or other tokens have attempted to go through the S1 process. So we're going to see more of that in the future, undoubtedly, as well.
So you've mentioned governance a few times during this. Once governance has been addressed and decided upon, then what?
Once you've decided how you're going to, what your governance structure is going to be at the end of this, you want to make sure that you have all the components for maximum flexibility. So that means your trust document or your other governing document needs to be as broad as possible. You want to make sure that you don't have any issues around shareholder approvals. If you're taking an existing private fund, you need to make sure that you don't need to seek your investor approvals or a percentage of investor approvals to make this kind of decision. It very well may be that you do need to go out to your interest holders and get a confirmation that they want to do the conversion. Each fund document is going to need to be reviewed for that. You're also going to need to make sure, if you're not already operating in the registered fund area, you need to make sure that you have your compliance policies and procedures tied up, right? So if you're in an existing mutual fund and this is your first foray into ETFs, you need to spend some time with your compliance department. You're going to need to do things like a creation redemption procedure. You're going to need to do a basket construction procedure. You're going to need to check your valuation procedures. You're going to need to make sure that if you have a fund of funds relationship in place, that it's comporting with the way fund of funds need to be treated under the new rule. So you're going to really spend some time with your administrative and operational people and your compliance people, making sure that you're ready to operate in the ETF space. If you're a private fund advisor, then you're not already working with registered funds. Again, you really need to make sure that your compliance components are assembled, because if you're going from, you know, a private manager to a registered vehicle, there are some other issues you might need to work through. And I would definitely be reaching out to the compliance lawyers to make sure that everything is teed up for that.
Not to make this a legal advertisement, but SKRC can certainly help in that area. So why don't we pivot to transparent versus non-transparent vehicles? Are you seeing one more commonly used in the conversion process?
Most of the conversions that we've seen are going into fully transparent vehicles, but theoretically it's possible that you could have somebody convert a pool, an existing pool, into a non-transparent vehicle. And that's something that you're going to want to explore, whether that's an option that you want. So in a fully transparent vehicle, that means that the entire portfolio is there available for review on your website every day. In a non-transparent or a semi-transparent, there are different models that are out there, but there's essentially a proxy portfolio or a cover for some piece of the portfolio on a daily basis. And the full portfolio is available at some point down the road, but kind of on that lag, the same way that a mutual fund's portfolio is on a 60-day lag when it's disclosed.
Well, Alex, you've highlighted some of the tax considerations regarding conversion, and I know you're not a tax attorney, but what are some of the high-level considerations that a private fund manager should be thinking about when considering a conversion to an ETF? There are certain tax benefits to converting for shareholders, correct?
You want to focus around the tax-free component of this, because the way that ETFs provide a huge tax benefit is very important, right? So, but the conversion piece also has to be tax-free to your underlying investors or shareholders. So as I said, you really have to work with your tax lawyers to make sure that component is the tax-free quality of the reorganization can be satisfied. At the same time, you also want to make sure that there are technicalities. So if you're in equities in certain foreign countries, they don't permit you to transfer shares from one entity to another legal entity. You have to go out into the market. So when you're looking at the tax-free component, it's super important to focus on any kind of foreign holdings and make sure that you're prepared for that.
Certainly a long list of things to consider, but doable.